Welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Gals Podcast. Sharon Vornholt is your host and the creator of the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, where you will learn how to become a savvy real estate investor, make money, build streams of passive income, and create a lifestyle and a business you love. Whether you're a seasoned real estate investor or just getting started, this show is for you. Now, let's talk real estate investing.
Now, I wanted to move on to Nicaragua. How in the world did you end up investing in Nicaragua?
No pun intended.
Yeah. How in the world?
Well, you know what's funny about Nicaragua is I have always been that person to be known to do everything backwards. My first real estate investment ever was in Nicaragua before I ever bought in the States. That when I was talking about when I was sitting bored at work that day and there was an advertisement for a webinar, it was actually for Nicaragua. And the reason it caught my attention is because, like I said, not too long before that, I had gone around Orange County and looked at all these foreclosures. I was stepping around dead rats and all, it was so gross. And the cheapest property was $300,000. And like I said, the math wasn't working out for me. And I couldn't figure, I was like, well, how does it, that ain't, I don't even see where the profit is. So I had kind of put that off in my back pocket. And when I was sitting at work this day, there was this cool little ad, and I'm a total beach bum anyways. There was a picture of a beach, and it was really pretty, and it said beachfront bungalows starting at $99,000. And I was like, what? Hello? That's I can afford that. Mm-hmm. That's way easier than $300,000, and I love the beach. Where is this? And I clicked on it, and I don't remember where it took me, but I actually didn't even know where Nicaragua was at the time, and I very stupidly admit that I was thinking it was in Africa. I think I had Nigeria in my head. So I had to actually Google map Nicaragua to see where that was. Turns out it's in Central America. But I'll tell you, the Nicaragua thing has turned out to be one of the coolest experiences ever. I absolutely am in love with Nicaragua. The short of how I bought there was I watched this webinar sheerly out of boredom, having no thought whatsoever that I would actually go through with it. And then, I don't know, somebody reached out after that and said, what do you think? And I was like, oh, that's really cool, but hello, that seems absurd. But I just kind of, just again, out of boredom, just kept looking into it. And eventually they said, well, if you reserve this property, then you can have, I mean, it's like 60 days due diligence and whatever questions you have. Because I said, oh, my big argument was I'm not opposed to buying overseas, but there's no way that I could do all of the due diligence that I need to do on something that ridiculous in by the time I would have to close on this property. Like, I'm all for it, but I don't have any knowledge about this. And they said, well, here's the deal. If you go ahead and put it under contract, you have 60 days due diligence. You can get all your earnest money back. You can look into anything you need to look into. And at the end of 60 days, if you don't feel comfortable or you feel like you still don't have all the knowledge that you need, then it's fine. It didn't cost you anything. And I was like, well, I mean, that's kind of hard to resist, and that seems fun. And they were totally taking advantage of my boredom at work. But it was true. I probably had, let's see, I had 60 days due diligence. I probably had all of my questions answered in less than a month, and I felt very comfortable with it. And I actually bought down there before I'd ever been to the country.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, and so I didn't go to Nicaragua until it was about 6 or 8 months after that, and within 24 hours of being in that country, I decided I was going to move there. I was in love with the country. I'm admittedly a adventurous, kind of off-the-beaten-path type person, and it very much is that, but I decided I was going to move there, and I was actually planning to move there for quite some time before I found Venice Beach and fell in love with it, and decided moving to Nicaragua was just going to be, I had too much other stuff going on to worry about an overseas move. But I was also going there still quite a bit because I bought a couple times down there. And then I was also going with investors. They do like investor discovery weekends and all that. So I was going down there enough to justify not needing to move down there. But yeah, like everything else, it was a complete accident. But Nicaragua is so amazing. If anybody's interested in overseas investing, it really, I mean, everyone thinks it's still the 80s and it's war zone and it is the most amazing place ever. It's gorgeous. It's got world-class surf breaks. The beach is amazing. The people, anytime I ever meet anyone who's been to Nicaragua, the first thing they talk about is how nice the people are. And it really, because it's this kind of undiscovered country, I mean, it's kind of discovered now, but it's still very much an infancy stage. The deal, I mean, it is an investor's paradise down there right now. I mean, Costa Rica's pretty tapped out. It's extremely expensive there now, and a lot of the people who were interested in Costa Rica originally are heading up to Nicaragua, and it just, it's such a cool place to watch right now, like watching it grow, and it's getting popular. It's very foreign investor friendly. The big thing, if you're ever investing in another country, is you have to find out if foreign nationals can own 100% of the property. Because that's what you hear all the time is like, wait, can't the government come in and take your property? And if you can't own the title, like, if you can't own deeded freehold property there, yes, they can come in and take it. Whereas Nicaragua, you can own 100%. The president there is very encouraging of foreign investment. So those are the things, that's a major thing you need to look at with any country is make sure you can own 100% deeded freehold property there. And that was one of the enticements in Nicaragua, of course, is that they do allow for that.
Okay. That was one question that I had about special things that people needed to look out for, because I know in some countries they have a lot of odd rules along those lines, and you can't own a property free and clear, that they couldn't one day just up and decide they were going to take that property. Not all areas of Central America are real stable. So I think people are just kind of frightened about the whole idea of investing there.
Yeah, now, and really for good reason too. That is the one major thing, is make sure you know legally if you can own 100%. But the other thing too, and one of the problems that Nicaragua does have, is it is essentially a corrupt government. You don't have the stability and the processes and everything like the U.S. does. I know of a development down there that has essentially tanked, and the legal side of that, the buyers who bought into that are, it's really difficult, because the language barrier is not a huge problem, because most of the really good lawyers down there speak English also, but because of the corruptness in the government, like, you've got corruptness not necessarily in the contract, but just kind of in the whole system in general. Like, you don't, like here, if you were to buy something in the States and some company sold you something and they really just truly screwed you over, you would have a lot of power behind you. I mean, you could get the FBI involved. You could get anybody. I mean, you could get so many people involved to just attack this person if you wanted to go that route. In Nicaragua, it's a lot harder because they don't have the support systems, for lack of a better term. So it's not impossible, and the lawyers down there are pretty good, and people have recouped some of their losses and all that. But, I mean, you have to go into it knowing, any time I go into an investment, I always, like when I bought that bungalow, I ended up buying that bungalow for $99,000 because, I mean, hello, it's a beachfront bungalow for $99,000. So I bought that. But when I bought that, I specifically sat down with myself and told myself, am I willing to lose $99,000? And actually, I only put, I think, $30,000 into it. So am I willing to lose $30,000? It's like giving a loan out. And my answer was yes. I am willing to take on that risk for the potential reward for the cost of $30,000. And if I lose that $30,000, is that okay? And I said yes, and therefore I bought it. And so with any country, I mean, technically even in the U.S., there is a lot more repercussion in the U.S., but in somewhere like Nicaragua, don't invest what you're not willing to lose. I don't expect you to lose it, and I certainly don't have hope for you to lose it, but just, I mean, don't invest above your means when you're doing something like that. Like in the U.S., maybe over-leverage yourself, kind of do whatever you want, but in the other countries, just to keep yourself protected. I mean, of course, now I'm hearing myself say all that. It sounds horrible. Oh, don't invest there. You're going to lose it all. It's not what I mean at all, but it's, again, on that risk scale. You're assuming more risk, but there's so much more reward coming your way also. So, again, it depends on your comfort levels, and that's a lot of why they did those investor discovery weekends, is people have horrible impressions of Nicaragua, and they're like, okay, that's fine. Come down here, and they never even tried to sell them property while they were there. You first have to get sold on the country. And so there'd be tours, and you get to meet people and try the food and all that kind of stuff. So you have to, I always say invest within your comfort level, but don't be opposed to increasing your comfort zone either. So
right.
a lot of it's education and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I have no expectation whatsoever if you were to buy a Nicaragua that you would lose it all, but also be smart and aware that it's not as protective as the U.S. either. So just invest within your means.
Okay. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit, just take a couple minutes and talk about the team that you have built, because I think you kind of view your business like I do. I don't want employees. So
right.
I use virtual staff, and I know that on your website you've got your staff listed. So did you just add those as you needed them, those folks as you needed them? What do they, I know you've got a social media person, you've got somebody that takes care of your technology. Did you sit down with a list of things you didn't want to do or that you didn't know how to do? How did you go about building your team that works with you on your business?
It's a great question. The building the team kind of happened just like the business did. It all happened very organically, and that's what that's one major piece of advice I give anybody is the best businesses happen organically. I'm the first person to say I've tried everything under the sun. I'll get some quirky idea and be like, oh, I'm going to start a website on that. Oh, it'll be a great business, and they all fail, or I try and write a book and it falls off or who knows what. But like I said, with this one, the business itself happened very organically. Like it started very small, very side time, no intention of it getting bigger. And the same thing actually happened with the people that work for me. Everything that they do now, I was doing myself at some point. And I'll tell you, I am ridiculously stupid when it comes to websites. But before I hired Florin, he's been a savior for me, but before he showed up, I was doing my own website. And even thinking back on it now, it was good, I love designing stuff. I wanted to go to school for graphic design. I love, just layouts and design of all sorts of stuff, but transferring that interest into website talk was horrible for me. But I had my own website for, I had another one, but the one that led up to Hipster, I think I had for maybe 3 or 4 months, and it really wasn't that bad. It was mostly blogs. I didn't really have a whole lot on it, but eventually the website guy was the first, Florin is the first guy that I hired of everyone you see on there, and you hear all the time when people are building a business or when they're teaching you to build a business, you have to get to the point where you offload work. Because when you first start, it's like your baby, and you want to do everything yourself. You certainly don't want to pay anyone to do anything. And and that's great. It's a perfect way to start because you really need to understand what goes into your own stuff. But once you understand what goes into your own stuff, you get to the point where it was taking me literally, this is no exaggeration, I've had a couple of things, either problems with my website or something that I have tried to work on myself. I will work on this tiny little problem for hours. I mean, I remember a few months ago there was something going on with it that I tried to figure, I was determined to figure this out on my own. I spent 7 hours of my day trying to figure out what the problem was. And I finally gave up and I emailed Florin and I said, hey, I can't figure this out. No joke, within 15 minutes, it was completely solved.
I know, doesn't that drive you crazy?
It does, and I want to do it myself, but what people don't realize is they don't want to pay people to do things, but if I were to break down, I mean, technically what I make hourly and times that by 7 hours that I wasted versus paying him for 15 minutes, I mean, we're talking a pretty substantial amount of money. So you really, when you're building your business, I think you should always start doing everything on your own, but be very open to seeing the time when bringing somebody on to do that for you makes sense. And so that's kind of how all my folks showed up. Florin came first because I needed the website. And then Hannah is my social media girl who she's absolutely rocking my world. She's actually my second one. My first one just left me at the end of December. She got hired on for a huge project I was so excited for, but we both agreed that her trying to do my stuff at the same time wasn't going to work. She needed to be doing this other project. She was amazing also. I had her for quite a few months. And they both, I'm not even on Facebook personally. I don't have a person, I've never been on Facebook in my entire life, but I knew that the company needed to be on it. So if I knew nothing about Facebook, even if I were to make, I know a company now who they are trying their best to do their own social media, and I look at their stuff and it looks amazing, but they're also not getting the traffic and the attention that they could if they use someone who specializes in social media, because they really know how to bring in the people, how to interact with them, hashtags to use, all this kind of stuff. So again, even if I were to run all of my own social media sites, it would be great, and I'd save the money of a social media person, but I would never get the traffic that I get now. So
right.
So social media came second just because last year was my first year in business, and most of that year I spent really kind of building the foundation and trying to figure out what in the world I was doing and how to do it and how to get my systems in place and all that. And I got to the point where finally all of that was kind of in place, and that's when I wanted to do the social media thing, because now I was ready for the traffic. Before, I wasn't ready for traffic. So then
right.
social media came about. And then the last step of it for me was most of my business, 99.5% of it is email. And I got to the point where I was having so many, all that traffic brought so many people that I was spending my entire days just emailing people. And I was like, oh, man, this, I can't get anything else done because I love talking to people, but I'm emailing all day long. So that's when Melissa came on, and she now is kind of like, if you were to reach out on my website, you'd hear back from Melissa first. She kind of takes the first round of everybody, kind of feels, tries to figure out what is it that people need, or do they just have questions, or they wanting to buy property, what's going on, and having her come on has just freed up so much of my time. It's been amazing. So I explain all that just to, it really is organic. Like, you just kind of start doing what you need to be doing and what your business needs. And as soon as you have a need, then bring somebody on for it. Like, the website was fun for a while, but then I needed someone to make it bigger. And then I built the foundation, and then I needed the traffic, so I hired someone to get the traffic. Well, then the traffic came, and I'm like, I can't handle all this traffic, so let me get someone to help me with that, too. So if you build it a lot more organically, it's just going to make more sense. Financially, you're not spending – a lot of people – get a business idea and go hire some web guy to build a website for $3,000 or something, and you don't even know if your business is going to work yet. Like, one thing I've learned with all of this is that people don't expect perfection. They don't need everything to look exactly right or everything to be lined up perfectly or any of that. They just want the content, and they just want the information. So if you can give that to them, then you can start making it prettier and start smaller and build up versus starting huge and not having the foundation behind it to back it up. And that's
right.
what of all the random business ideas I've had, that is by far the best way to really secure a business. Everything else I started top down was just kind of flunked out.
Well, I think that pretty much, you know, my last question was about advice you had for people that wanted to build a lifestyle business, and I think you've explained that very well. You have to take each thing as it comes, and you have to – I tell people I was so guilty of not outsourcing. I just felt like I had to do it all, and it just drives you crazy. And to this day, I'm still trying to figure out how to get better at that and how to outsource more things. But outsource early. I think that is the best advice you can give people, is outsource, learn how to do it, and then outsource it, because you have to know how things should work, kind of. Now, social media, that's kind of a different animal, but in general, you need to know how things work in your business.
Yeah.
But then you need to get rid of them and concentrate on your core, what I call your core genius. Whatever it is that is your specialty that you're really good at, that's what you should be doing, and you should be outsourcing everything else. That's what all of the top people tell you to do. So Sounds like you nailed that.
That's actually one thing I really had to learn, too, is because I actually just read a book a few months ago, and the whole first chapter resonated with me so hard, is that she basically explained, growing up, we're taught to strengthen our weaknesses. Like, oh, well, if you're not good in this area, do more training or get good and all that. And that really, when you start trying to strengthen your weakness, you're only going to get so strong in that area. It's just not, like you call it your core genius, that's your strength. And when you start strengthening your strength, it can go, I mean, out of this world. It's amazing. But what we're taught is to ignore your core genius because that's already good and strengthen your weaknesses. Well, first of all, that's only going to make you totally average because if you're good at everything, I mean, and you're just not going to get that good. And so when I read this chapter of this book, she even gave like bar graphs and I was like, oh man, that's what, when I started my company, that's what I had been doing is I was trying to build a website on my own. I was trying to do sales on my own. I was trying to do all these things that I'm just absolutely horrific at. And it wasted a lot of time. Like, definitely don't outsource before you know the job because, now that I have people working with me, my job is to manage them and to make sure they're doing what they need to be doing. But in order for me to do that, I have to have done that job myself in order to explain it to them or to know what they're experiencing or to whatever. So you definitely have to do it yourself first. But as you say, outsource early because, like with my website, I mean, I'm glad that I spent time doing it myself, but I probably spent 3 or 4 months just completely wasting time on it because if I had just hired somebody sooner, I would have 3 or 4 months under my business's belt, and that makes a big difference in my business. So, yeah, you're exactly right. It's outsource early, but not before you know the job yourself, and really, really look at your own strength. You can hire somebody for your weaknesses all day long, and ever since I figured that out, it has totally changed my life. For one, when you really focus on your weaknesses, you're going to get really frustrated and your job is not going to be fun. But when you focus on your strengths, that's when things are fun. You're going to make more money doing that. You can hire other people for other stuff. But yeah, my biggest advice for doing a lifestyle business is, first of all, let it happen organically. Like it even goes for real estate investors. People say, oh, I'm thinking about flipping or buying rental properties or wholesaling. And I'm like, okay, wait. Don't just pick something. If I could pick what I did for real estate investing, I would have flipped because you make a lot more money a lot faster. But flipping doesn't resonate with me, and rental properties do. And because rental properties do, I've always been very good at it, and it's very easy for me, and I'm going with my grain instead of against it. If I had forced myself to flip, I would just be swimming upstream all day long, and I would never make that much money. I would never get very far. I might have some successes, but I just won't get that far. So when I say do it organically, you have to do it organically in order to find out what really does resonate with you. And once you figure that out, I mean, it's so much fun after that. You can design anything you want. The business is at your fingertips at that point, but definitely outsource early, figure out what you're good at, and just go for it.
Yeah. And I did a video back it's probably been about 2 years ago now, but somebody asked me a question, which I get asked quite a bit, how do you choose a strategy? And I tell people that most people dabble around a little bit before they settle on one, but in the end, I think the strategy chooses you because
I've seen you write that
what
before.
What makes you happy.
Exactly. I cannot agree with you more. Well, and like I said, when I was trying to decide the big thing is that you really, when you want to get started, if you haven't started with anything, you just have to dive in, start reading everything you can, go to seminars, go to everything you can imagine, because if you just keep pursuing it, the strategy that chooses you, it really will fall in your lap. Like like I said, when I was like, okay, that's it, because I spent three or four years reading everything I could, but what I realized was happening is I wasn't picking one focus, so nothing was ever coming of anything. And so that's when I decided, okay, I'm going to have to pick business or real estate because I'd been studying both, and I picked business. And I went full-blown into the business side, and here comes this random Nicaragua webinar out of boredom falls in my lap. And from that investment is how I met all of my contacts for the business I run now. And had you asked me around that time, you could not have paid me $1 million to tell you what I would be doing today. And so that's a lot of it, is that you have to figure out what you're good at, dive into everything, figure out what kind of resonates with you, and you just have no idea how it's going to pan out. Really just kind of have to kind of go with the flow of the stream, and the strategy will definitely find you. I think you could not say that any better.
Well, it's been great having you on the call today, Allie. I think maybe folks that are reluctant to jump into rental properties because they feel ill-equipped to handle the whole process can look at the turnkey process and see a way for them to do it and not have their weaknesses get in the way, so to speak. So thank you so much for coming on, and I've just enjoyed this so much. And for folks that are listening, and we'll get this posted on my blog, I will put a link back to Allie's site, and if you have any questions for her, you can leave them either on her site or you can leave them on my site, and I'll let her know, and then we can get all your questions answered. So
thanks. Absolutely. Yeah, my whole business is talking to people. So, I have about 3 years real estate investing experience, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it also, the advantage of that is that it wasn't too long ago that I was a newbie myself and had no idea what was going on, what my options were, any of that kind of stuff. So I'm not so far along that I can't still relate to being at the beginning stages, and that it really helps out when you can talk to somebody. I mean, you can talk to the pros and the gurus all day long, but they don't remember what it was like to start out. And I can definitely help anybody with that side of things. And even just from the mental standpoint, or are you scared, or what's your holdup, or what do you want to do? All that kind of stuff. So any questions, anything, shoot them my way anytime.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Allie. And we're going to wrap this one up. And this is Sharon Bornholz with the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, and we'll be back soon with another episode of Let's Talk Real Estate Investing. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, guys.